Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Thank you for listening to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are back together. We have a great time talking to Coach Trevor Whitman. And, of course, Roxanne Modafferi calls in and geeks out with Matt.
Yes!
And I'm hoping I turned her on to a Star Wars classic.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
You know, welcome to the show.
Yes.
I got to be honest.
Yes.
I get excited. I saw my stomach hanging over my belt this morning, and I wanted to throw myself off my balcony.
Okay.
Fucking Matt brings in the best snacks, cauliflower pretzels.
Thank
Where do you.
You
find this stuff?
Thank you. My secret.
I mean, wherever you find it, I want to go there.
Across the street.
Really, you really do, right?
Yeah, man.
It's Matt finds healthy treats. I don't know if they're healthy, but they're healthier than what I would eat, which is regular pretzels. And welcome back. I know Matt was at the fights. I was not at the fights.
Yes, I was.
And did you have to pay for tickets?
Well, you know, I don't like to brag about shit. I am a Hall of Famer. I had a blast. I'm not going to say what I was doing, but I was hanging out with the boss man, Dean Thomas also.
You saw Dean.
Yeah, I got to hang out with, I had a great time, man. I ain't going to get into what we do because I like to keep it special for the show. But for Dana White looking for a fight.
Sure.
You know, we shot a couple of those in the last month. So it's exciting, man. I like to get back on the road with those guys.
Yeah.
And gals today. And then we had Amanda Nunes, the champ, and Nina Ansaroff hanging out with us. And we had a blast.
When are they getting married?
I don't know, man. But I think I'm actually close enough with them now. I think this trip, because I kind of like road tripped with them a little bit, this trip, I think, warrants myself and Mrs. Sarah an invite to there.
But you know what?
I don't want to impose. I don't know if they're
going to get it. That's probably true.
That's probably true, but they can't invite you without inviting me because it'd be so awkward.
It wouldn't be awkward, though.
It'd be so awkward. Well, next time they came on, you guys would all be discussing the wedding.
Jimmy.
And I'd have to sit there.
Jimmy, I think that...
I think it'd be awkward.
Well, it's like this. I think that if they were just doing the podcast and this and that, then that would be awkward. But... you know how like you bond with people, like,
sure,
on a road trip, you know?
Yeah. So like, I bonded with them kind of through, because you have. So you bonded for us.
No, not at all. But like, let's say like you were going to like an Ozfest or some shitty fucking headbanger.
Some amazing place to enjoy music, yes.
I'm only kidding, dude. We have different types of music, sure, that we like. You like Ozzy Osbourne, and I like Post Malone's Sunflower.
Yes.
Okay? You know, different strokes.
Absolutely.
For different fellas.
Sure.
But the point is this. I had a blast.
You've been invited to the wedding.
No, I haven't been invited. I'm saying...
I hope I'm wrecking it.
I think I will be invited.
I hope Nina and Amanda are like, look, we like Jim, but we're not inviting to the wedding, so maybe we shouldn't invite Matt either. So I'm actually ruining your invitation to the wedding.
Probably, yeah.
Why don't we talk about the fights? Oh, we're going to talk to...
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to get Roxanne on the phone quick.
Yeah, Roxanne Modafferi is calling in.
Modafferi, I like her a lot.
Trevor Whitman as well. Who does a nice job jumping in on the UFC broadcasts?
Trevor, what about him?
He does a nice little bit jumping in and giving some. He usually just gives a quick hot take. He's there for a minute, in and out.
Well, he talks a lot about the corner work, too,
yeah, exactly.
Which I like that. I like that a lot because that's something that I do, like by myself or with Longo or somebody. I'm like, that corner, Jim. What they said, just go for it. They suck. I don't say like, but you know, I would never. It's like what you do with other comedians, Jimmy. You and your buddy.
I steal from them.
No.
Oh, sorry. Is that what you're saying? Sorry.
No, I'm saying like you and your buddy Bobby Kelly, you sit there and you watch people on stage. You're like, hack.
We don't even watch them. Hi, Roxanne. How are you? You're talking to Jim and Matt.
What's up, Roxanne?
Oh, fantastic. Good to talk to you.
Well, nice to talk to you as so well. Where are you today?
I'm at Syndicate, finally returning to training after my fight.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you doing what?
I'm finally returning to training after my fight.
Oh, okay. Did you have an injury, or do you typically just take a little time off?
Yeah, I usually take a week off. I try to do some gi jiu-jitsu, but I don't do MMA for a week just in case. We hit the head, so it's always safer.
I love that. What do you enjoy about the gi, Roxanne?
Man, I started in the gi, so I love the sport of jiu-jitsu. You know, I love judo. I love it.
No, I'm with you. I'm big on the gi now. And sometimes I think, I can get into so many different reasons why, but I'm starting to think the reason why I like to roll with it a lot lately is because I'm just like over 40 and it slows shit down, to be honest with you. Hey, listen, Happy Warrior. The last time I talked to you was about some Star Wars stuff. Because I know you're into she's into like you're into like all the comic books.
Are you a geek culture person?
Absolutely.
That's what
I love. Did you see Game of Thrones last night?
No, man, I don't know. My friends tell me it's like really violent and I'm really sensitive to blood and guts and stuff. So I kind of haven't watched it.
That is amazing considering the profession you have chosen.
I know.
Well, so wait, sorry, Matt, to interrupt you, but when you're fighting, obviously blood can come off of your face or somebody else. Does it affect you there or is it only like in films?
Well, their intestines aren't splurting everywhere, so there's a big difference.
That's true. That's a good point.
No, she truly is the happy warrior. Yeah. I mean, and you know, you have that demeanor, like, right up into the cage, and where did that come from? I never seen you angry, Roxanne.
No, actually, just before I fight, like, as the cage door is closing, I tell myself, like, I make a point to tell myself, all right, get ready for violence. You might have to hurt her. Just get ready for it. You're going to do it. Like, feel myself for it, you know? I kind of flip the switch, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, I just always try to stay positive and look on the bright side of everything when I'm outside of fighting. But then when it's fight time, you know, I tell myself it's different. This is a fight. You know, you gotta do it. You got to do what it takes.
So you don't have to get yourself into a place where you dislike the person you're fighting or you have animosity or anger towards them.
No. You know, as they say, like, for Jedi, there's peace. There's no emotion when you fight. So I consider myself a Jedi. I take that very seriously, like, especially in training. If I start, like, maybe they hit me too hard or something like that and I get mad, I breathe and I circle out and I wait until that feeling's anger dissipates before I continue training because I take the Jedi thing very seriously.
I love that. Are you up to date with all the movies as far as with the Star Wars movies? You saw The Last Jedi?
Yes, I did.
Thoughts?
I was kind of unhappy with, you know, how they killed Luke.
I cannot.
Oh, I didn't see that.
The way he acted? Really?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the way he acted, too, it didn't seem very in character, and I know the actor himself complained. I'm sorry if I actually said a spoiler. I apologize.
No, don't worry. Okay. It was out 5 years ago. Jimmy Breaks Chops.
Oh, is it five? I didn't know that. Actually, isn't there one coming out now called The Rise of Skywalker?
Yes.
Oh, okay, but that's him coming back?
We don't know. I don't know. They throw that title out there just to get you all excited about what that means. Like, is Rey related? Go ahead.
I feel like Luke would never abandon everybody and go to an island, you know?
You know who feels about the same way besides me is Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker. Right. You know, I'll tell you, I was very upset. And you've seen him doing interviews. He actually said it. He had Ryan Johnson, the guy who directed that?
Yeah.
He was like, he would never do. He said exactly what you said. And it's a bummer. And I want to keep this a happy interview, but I was bummed. I thought he should have went out like a freaking, like, just like, just really gangster. Like, in other words, I wanted him to show up, get that. If you wanted to put him on an island, let him redeem himself. Get that, use the force, get the water out of that X-ray that's been sitting in that water for that X-ray fighter. What is it, X-ray?
X-Wing. I wouldn't know. X-ray fighter.
Well, Roxanne knows what I'm talking
X-Wing?
About. X-Wing. You saw that thing sitting in the water. Get that out of there. Fly to where they are. And really do some damage with all that power. Yeah. All that. You're the most powerful Jedi ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Pick up some of the, and just go out that way. Forget about the M. Night Shyamalan ending that nobody cares about. Anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, I'm totally with you there.
And listen, just and before we get right back to some MMA action, there's a new Disney app coming out, and it's going to have a show called The Mandalorian on it. Have you heard about that?
Oh, man, that's right. I have. I can't wait for it. I love The Mandalorian.
It sounds amazing. So yeah. I just wanted to give you a
heads up. What happens in that show when they all stand around and agree that Kylo Ren stinks? Stupid bad guy with daddy issues. he was awful.
They really did do wrong by...
Just terrible.
Yeah, I didn't like what they did too with... Han just had trouble with his kid and he left. That's really... Right?
I don't want to...
I like The Force Awakens. I thought that was a good one.
If it wasn't for Jar Jar Binks, I'd hate the whole franchise. He's the best.
All right, let's get back to Roxanne.
By the way, the best thing Star Wars ever did was the Star Wars Christmas special. Did you see that, Roxanne?
The what?
The Star Wars Christmas special. Have you seen that?
I don't think I have.
Good thing.
It was like 1977. It was after the first one. And I think that no one knew what it was going to become. And it was a TV special where they showed Chewbacca's home and his family. And they got Mark Hamill to do it. Oh, go online after this. I'm going to really destroy your love of Star Wars. Watch the Star Wars Christmas special on YouTube or whatever. I want to see if you can make it through it. You fought a great fight against Antonina. Is that her name? Shevchenko. Which I thought you deserved more than a split decision, but I mean, you did win the fight. This special will be harder for you to get through than those three rounds.
Oh, man.
It was brutal. But listen, Roxanne, you really fought awesome, you know? And going into that fight, you know, Antina's very, you know, she's very dangerous.
Undefeated?
Undefeated. And it has to. I don't know if it would weigh on you about her being the sister of the champ. I mean, so it's like, you know, what was your thoughts going in, you know, when you first got matched up with her?
My thoughts were, I mean, I like fighting strikers because I know that I can take them down and do my jiu-jitsu on them.
Yeah.
So I was happy about that. And then they kept hyping her sister a lot, and I was watching interviews, and it was mostly Valentina talking and showing, like, her training, and I'm like... Why don't they talk more about Antonina? You know, I thought that they're really using her sister a lot instead of giving Antonina so much credit. But, you know, John Wood, my coach, and I watched videos of Antonina and saw that her clinch was really dangerous, her kicks and knees and all that. So for like 2 months, I just drilled, taking down a southpaw. You know, I think my striking has improved, but I'm not so naive to think like, oh, I'm a striker now. I'm going to beat the striker using my striking skills. Like, I'm not going to do that.
That's very smart of you, because some people with new tools, they get carried away. They like knocking people out. And next thing you know, they're trying to knock out Chris Lytle when they're a grappler. I'm only kidding. That was me. But I lost that one. No, but you get carried away with knocking people out.
So. I do want to show that I've grown over time. You know, I do want to show that I'm not just a grappler. You know, I can land stuff and I'm decently accurate. You know, so I use my striking to get in and did get the takedown and was able to do my thing.
You know who should really take a page out of your book is the dude who fought Greg Hardy. Now listen, that's a perfect example.
That guy was great. He charged from across the cage.
And
I
liked,
awesome.
And he did it while he was like looking for his contacts or some shit, because he was looking right at the floor and he had his arms out. It was so brutal. It looks like the amateur hour. I know Dana was very upset about that fight. And I would like to see the nine guys that guy beat, because that was, there's one thing with the UFC jitters, but that looked like a guy that
was that his first UFC fight?
Yeah, first, and I'd say last. Let's see. Has to be.
I think he actually had a couple of fights that he lost. He left for maybe a fight or two, and then that was his first one back. So he.
Oh.
But okay, but still pressure.
Well, he looks scared. I think he's pressure nervous.
I don't know. I saw that fight. Not that. I actually didn't see the fight, but I heard, you know, the commentary, and I thought, man, I don't really know Greg Hardy that well, but I wonder how he feels having his opponent dissed so much, because I was reading the forums and people were like dissing Antonina, like, oh, she got beaten by Roxanne. She must suck. It's like, hey.
That's not right.
So I don't know. I feel bad about anybody getting dissed. So I guess that's just me.
Yeah, you don't want to see it. Like, because if you're Greg Hardy and you win the fight, but everybody's bad-mouthing your opponent. I thought when he was on the ground, he seemed like he was content to just cover up and have it stop. But again, I won't question a guy's courage or a woman's courage who fights, because, I mean, again, I've never had the balls to do it. But, I mean, it just seemed like in that world, he should have probably done a little bit more to extend. It looked like he just kind of covered up and took it. Maybe he got hurt a little earlier and we just didn't realize how badly he was hurt.
I don't know.
Did you think the decision... Oh, I'm sorry, Roxanne. The decision over Antonina, did you think that it was a split decision? How did you feel when it became a split decision?
I thought I had dominantly won the fight. I didn't feel in danger at all. You know, I didn't feel like any of her punches rocked me, and I thought that I, you know, dominated the positions and all. So I was like starting to freak out when I heard them start reading out the judges' scores. I'm like, oh man, am I going to lose this because I'm in Russia?
Yeah.
But you know, then I rewatched the fight, and you know, the kicks like kind of breezed by my nose. Like it didn't really hit me, but it kind of looked like it could have. And I thought like, oh, it looks, you know, competitive. So.
So you weren't as upset about once you watched the fight.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it looked like a good fight, but I still think I should have gotten the unanimous. But hey, I won, so I'm happy.
I agree with you. Now, was that your first time in Russia?
It was.
What did you do there? Did you do anything? Did you go out and see St. Petersburg at all, like after the fight?
I allowed myself 3 hours of sightseeing, you know, before the fight on media day, because in the past I had made a mistake. I fought in London, and I went sightseeing for like 2 days. I walked everywhere, and it was great, but I was so tired for the fight. So I fell asleep before the fight, so I didn't want to do that again. So with Mike Pyle, we went around, walked around, saw the Kazan Cathedral and a few other things, and then we went back and did business, took care of business.
Now, tell me about, you've been working a lot with Mike Pyle, UFC veteran, and an old friend of mine. You've been working a lot.
He retired, right? Did he stop fighting or no?
He retired, but man, he had a long career. You've been working with jiu-jitsu with him, is that right?
Absolutely. I asked him for some private sessions, and he's really helped me improve my grappling game.
He, you know, that guy, you know, he fought Quentin Jackson like 25 years ago? Seriously, he fought him ages ago.
Yep, he told me.
Yeah. Hey, now you obviously want to fight Cyborg next. Is that who you have on your radar next?
Heck no. I wanted to say something funny. So it looks like I succeeded.
Yes, at least you replied. That was a great call out. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I can't see you like trash talking people, Roxanne.
I'm trying to like sell the fight, you know, like I want to be interesting, you know, do something. I don't know.
Hey, you started, I guess it was what, in 2003, and you were over in Japan. Were you in school in Japan?
I was.
What were you taking?
I majored in Japanese language and linguistics.
What an interesting major. What in life made you want to do that? That's such like a random thing. Did you just like Japanese culture? Did you date a Japanese guy? Like, what was it that made you want to do that?
I've always wanted to be bilingual. I thought that's the coolest thing in the world. And then I started watching Japanese anime, and I loved their, you know, fighting spirit and that culture. So I thought, oh, do Japanese. It'll be great. Not knowing it's going to be a hard language to learn, and I really, really hard to get fluent, you know. But that was the cause.
How'd you doing it?
You know, really good. I achieved a decent level of fluency, but not enough to, like, go get a UN job or, like, one of those high-paying jobs. So I ended up moving to Japan to teach English, hoping to get more fluent. And it didn't quite work out the way I wanted to. Like, I had a, you know, great time there. I just didn't get, like, the translation job that I really wanted.
Did you ever eat at that place? What's it called? Jiro? Is that Jiro or Jiro? I don't know how to say his name. Is it the best sushi in the world?
Hero Dreams of Sushi, right?
Not Hero, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I'm not sure.
I thought it was Jiro. You don't know who he is?
Nope. All right. Oh, Jiro, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, Jiro. So you never ate there?
Not familiar.
I just wanted to ask a stupid question and ruin the entire interview.
You fucking threw me right off.
Well, no, there's a documentary about the best sushi chef in the world. He's like in a subway station in Japan. So she loves Japanese culture and the language. Oh, so maybe she'd gone there.
I hadn't heard.
But back to anime.
Yeah.
I like to talk about anime. What if you had to tell me, all right, Matt, this is the, if you want to get into anime, watch this. Is there anything you'd point out to me?
Well, my three favorite anime are really long. So, like, Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, and Naruto are my favorite and most inspiring anime. But recently, the hot one is My Hero Academia. Ooh. Now, My Hero Academia is about a world where everybody has some kind of weird quirk or, like, mutation or superpower. And some use their power for evil, but some want to use it for good. So they have to go to school to learn how to be superheroes. So it's, like, cool, like, as if, you know, you train to be a fighter and go fight crime. It's about this kid's adventure, learning how to use his superpowers, and it's really inspiring, and it makes you want to power up and be awesome.
What's a mundane power that some of them have? Because they all have different powers. There have to be some that are just average. Like, this guy's great at walking a straight line. Like, that's just a shitty superpower.
Let's see. One girl can make things float by touching them and then holding her breath, and then when she exhales, it falls down.
That's pretty awesome. Cool. That's a great power.
It's the worst power ever.
Why? To hold your breath and to make it float and then just get out of there?
Right, exactly.
Watch him fall?
Wait, that's her second one. Wait, go ahead.
One guy can electrocute stuff. One guy can harden his hands to be like as hard as stone.
No, I like that.
Do any of them have the same power? Like, is there a whole group that hardens their hands, or is everyone's power different?
Oh, it's genetic.
It's like
their mom and dad would have the same thing.
Oh, okay. Now, is it in Japanese or is it dubbed in English?
I think it's on Hulu. There's subtitles. I think it might be dubbed as well.
She had one more for us, too. That was two, you said. Is there any other one? What did you say? Is there? You said two far.
Oh, My Hero Academia, Naruto is always good.
Oh, what was that?
That's a ninja anime.
Oh, ninja anime. Listen, did you ever watch Cowboy Bebop?
Yes.
How is that? Somebody recommended that.
Yeah, it's really good. Most people like it. I wasn't so enthusiastic about it, but I don't like guns, so yeah. That makes sense.
Now, you said the ones you liked are unusually long. How long? And are these movies or is it a series?
It's a series.
What is unusually long? How long is that?
I think One Piece has 500 episodes.
What?
God, Jimmy,
so
you
I've been
started.
Watching it since college. College, I started watching it, and I'm still watching it.
Well, so is it still going, or are they all?
Yeah.
Oh, it's still. It's like it's.
You know, I'm not sure. I think it might still be going.
Wow, five. Have you seen them all from the beginning?
Yes, but I'm behind a little bit. I'm like a few years behind.
Oh, my God.
I binge watch, so I'm letting it catch up. But
Jimmy thought Walking Dead was going too long. This is ridiculous.
But with anime, you can do anything, though.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, well.
I'll give it a shot.
Now I'm going to watch one episode of that, and you have to promise to watch the Star Wars Christmas special.
Okay, I promise.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't kill your love for Star Wars.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Hey, I watched like the droids one.
Oh, the droids, the cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cute, those things.
Now,
No, not the cartoon. There was like a live action one like in the 80s or something.
Droids? The live
something,
action.
I forget what it's called.
I thought it was a cartoon. But now I'm going to look that up. Yeah. What do you got, Jimmy?
Do you pay a lot of attention to the rankings? There's not too many names ahead of you. A couple of them are without opponents. It looks like Yoani and Jacek doesn't have anybody. And she might be going back to strawweight, but Liz Carmouche. Do you have any thoughts?
Man, I'll fight whoever. You know, I'm trying to let my coach match me up. You know, I'm just like, hey, give me anybody. Really, I just want to keep winning my fights. Go for another title run if possible. You know, Liz or Alexis or, you know, I think one of those girls are above me. So whoever, really.
Yeah, what do you think you need to do to get... Because we have you here tied with, the number six is out, okay. With I thought you were in Joanne Caldwell were tied, but you're not. There's just no six listed here. What do you think you have to do to get into title contention?
I think I need to do something outstanding and be noticed, and whether that be, you know, have a flashy fight or smack talk somebody or I don't know. Who knows? You tell me and I'll do it. Except take off my shirt. I won't do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I'm just not in good shape. So you think that maybe if you win one fight in spectacular fashion and then call somebody out, that might be the key.
Maybe.
Because it doesn't.
You think so?
I don't know. You know, calling people out, there's different schools of thought on it. I mean, it is a business and they do want to sell the fights. And like when you look at like Colby Covington against Kamaru Usman, the reason that that's such an interesting fight is they're both great fighters, but you know they don't like each other and there's been animosity. Where now people want to see Leon Edwards against Jorge Masvidal because they had some matches, because there's so many fighters in so many divisions. It seems like, not that it's got to be fake, but if there's a little back and forth, at least people have some kind of an investment in seeing it brought to fruition, if that makes sense.
But having said that, though, she's the happy warrior.
Yeah.
She's too likable. Roxanne, the problem is you're too likable. So I can't picture you saying anything bad about anybody and anybody taking it serious. But what I can say is that you keep doing what you did last fight, and they cannot deny you. You know.
Okay.
They cannot deny
I will
you.
Do my
you,
best.
Yes.
Call them out happily. Why did you do that? Call out someone.
How, Jimmy? How,
Liz Carmouche. Like, say, I would love to hug her after I choke her. You know, do that.
It's not bad.
Call them out happily.
That's actually not bad.
I would love to what?
Give her a hug after I choke her. Or I'd love to submit Joanna and then help her get up.
That's not bad.
You know what? That's a good one. I'll take notes on that.
Yeah, call them out nicely. That's all. It doesn't have to be nasty.
I take it back. That's right. Listen to Jimmy.
Okay, cool.
All right, that's listen. A good idea. Well, it was really nice talking to you, Roxanne. I think this is the first time we've spoken to you. We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, Roxanne.
I'm stoked to have been on your show. Thanks for inviting me.
All right, good. We look forward to a follow-up where we have a full review of the Star Wars Christmas special.
Let us know how you like it.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right, Roxanne. Take care.
Take care, Roxanne.
Bye.
Bye.
She's so nice.
It's weird, like, because she's obviously such a huge Star Wars fan. I'm amazed that people.
I love it.
Well, I heard George Lucas.
No, man.
George Lucas. No, but I mean, yeah. It was yanked. He tried to scrub the internet of that. He's so embarrassed by it. B. Arthur is in it.
It's fucking horrific.
Have you seen it?
No, I mean, you've talked about it, so I've seen the clip.
It opens up, and it's Chewbacca's family. It's the worst thing ever filmed.
You know what? What?
It's the worst thing ever filmed.
But by the way, for the record, Roxanne and JoJo Calderwood are. Tied. They're
Both that was correct. I thought the six was missing.
I take
so
the six
stupid.
Out, it's because they're tied.
I saw, like, is there really two ties in that division?
There are, yes.
Lauren Murphy and Jennifer Maya are also tied.
Correct.
At
they're
seven?
Number eight.
Or eight.
You sorry. Never saw the Ewok adventure, did you?
Oh, well, how could I miss
did
it?
Did you see it, though?
No, I hated the Ewok. Shut up. Bunch of dolls
they're
running around.
They're singing when they win. I look.
They stink. Hey,
I like
you see Game of Thrones?
Yes, I did.
How great is it?
Right, wow. Well, for
did
people that
it?
Haven't seen
did
it,
you
just,
see it?
Just whatever. Skip a couple of minutes.
I'm not going to go over every detail. I've been watching it live this year. I got to say, last night's episode, this week, the battle against the Dead Army, is one of the best episodes I've ever seen of anything. However, they shot it too dark.
Yeah.
And everyone's TV looked like it was fucked up.
Well, yeah. Well, it gets a little confusing sometimes.
It does. You know what? The dragons are flying. What are they bumping into each other?
So
is there another
cool
dragon?
In it, though, man.
What?
Like, I mean, I don't want to give it away. People might not have seen it, but like, just certain things with the Dothraki and the flaming swords also disappear.
I love that.
It was so cool.
Yeah, it's very
man.
Cool. Some of what they were saying, by the way, like maybe they shot it fine, but then once it goes on to. Like the on-demand stuff, like they downgrade the quality a little bit, so it
whatever
a
they do,
pixelated.
It was annoying. I didn't like it was pixelated.
Yeah,
I'm trying to watch dragons fucking fight, and I got pixelation. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah, but some of that shit in the sky was like almost like a portrait.
But it didn't look good because it wasn't the way it might have been during the transfer. It was getting like blotchy, like almost like when you put something in portrait mode and it kind of fades out the back. I just was like, what the fuck are they doing?
You concentrate on that. And I concentrate on all the cool shit,
but I couldn't see the cool shit.
Well,
I was watching. It's almost like I want to see cool shit. See, if you're watching a boxing match and it's pixelating, you're watching a great fight, but it's pixelating. I love the episode.
I liked the episode so much, and it was so much fun. And, you know, where do they go from here?
I have a feeling the next episode, and I hate when shows do this, is going to be a table setting for the final two-part. That's my guess. Ooh. It's going to be boring. Okay. I have a feeling the next one is just going to be like, you know, we have to band together. We have to fight. I'm sick of that shit.
Yeah, it does feel like the rest of the season, I mean, without giving anything away, it does feel like there's going to be a lot more, like less battle, more like political game. You know what
I mean? Don't even mind that.
I don't mind it
make it boring. I don't need to see another wedding. I don't give a fuck if this one marries that one or if that one, you know. I'm your king. Shut up.
I just like to, you know, have a good time watching it.
Me too. I loved it.
Yeah, I did too, Jimmy. Let's talk about, did we go over our picks?
No, we could.
Did you do your picks? Now, my picks.
I did get my picks. I gave him the picks on the way to the arena.
I had a horrendous.
You know that? I was on the way to the arena.
I know. I was like, I didn't want to bother you because I figured you were out shooting. I texted you a couple of times. And I was like, oh, look at this son of a bitch.
I was on the plane.
Yeah.
Not to be that guy.
But. You got it in right on time.
I was, I'm bummed about one of my picks.
Okay.
Because I know where I wanted to go with my heart.
Well, I went with my heart, and I also believed in Mike Perry. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah
I'm sure.
I love Mike Perry. We had a great interview with him.
I switched on the show because of the way he was sounding.
He sounded amazing, but it was. I almost brought this up to Roxanne when we were just talking to her. When it's a striker against a guy who's so good on the ground or a woman who's so good on the ground, I'll almost always go with the absolute dominant fighter on the ground because for me it's just too hard to prevent somebody from closing the distance and getting a hold of you once. Do you understand what I mean?
I'm going to, only because I know I'm going to use it because it actually sums it up perfectly. I was watching the fight with Dana and you know Jimmy right up at the cage side monitor, you know.
Sure, they didn't have a seat for
you. I saw you on TV, maybe.
Decent seats, you know. So I'm talking to him when the fight was over. He goes, you know, he fought very mature tonight.
He did.
And that's about as that sums it up. He fought not just like a barbarian. He was savage, but he was smart. Like, in other words, he didn't just go nuts when he felt he had him in trouble. He was being measured, a little reserved when he had to. He was stalking him.
Yep.
When it looked like he was going to be in trouble off a takedown, or when a cowboy was looking to take his back up against the cage, he played it smart. He got his back in the cage. He escaped. And he fought like you could tell that his fight IQ from what he's been through.
Sure.
Got hired. And he's fighting like that.
Cowboy looked great too.
Oliveira
looked really good. He didn't look bad.
First of all, what a fun fight to watch. It was wild, man. And he had a good chin too, because I mean, I remember Cowboy was landing on him like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And then I believe it came down to that third round, and man, he had him pinned up. He did some good work on the floor. On the floor when people were worried about him.
Perry did exactly, I mean, if you listen to the interview we did with him last week, he did exactly what he said he was going to
do.
Really defend the takedowns and take his time, pick his spots, and he did it throughout the fight.
I was listening to some of the interview with Mike Perry on here the other day, and I liked what he said as far as he didn't feel like himself. Some people think the grass is always greener as far as with these big camps. And I'm not shitting on anybody because all these camps are great. But it really is about chemistry. It really is about what's best for you. So just because this place might have, you know, this guy, that guy, and the other, doesn't always mean it's the best fit for you. I remember him saying that he felt it was more of Cowboy Cerrone versus Jackson Wink. And he felt like he was just like a...
Yeah.
He didn't feel like... He didn't want to even be part of that. I don't know. And he said it didn't feel like him. And then when you've seen... Well, I mean, I seen Cole, first of all. And Dana, I think, tried to take a video of it. It was so fucking great. When Perry walked in... Oh, hold on. I knocked my shit out. Oh. When Perry walked into the cage, right? And now he's waiting for Cowboy to come out. Cowboy Oliveira is dancing and it's got that music on. So then you see him, and now Perry. They didn't show it. I'm sure on the show, on the pay per view, on the TV. He was dancing in the cage to it. Like he was dancing to the cage to it. And then you look to the left, and it's Cowboy getting changed, like getting his clothes off. He's dancing, and it was like a fucking dance off. It was so entertaining.
Dana actually got a good video. He put like, this fight was entertaining before it even started.
Oh, dude.
Can you put that up? I didn't see it.
Oh, it was great. It was so great. And then he got the tail end of it because I was with him. I'm like, look at this. I go, this is fantastic. I'll tell you about this Mike Perry. And I'm so happy that he's fighting as smart as he is. He's an entertaining dude. Look at this. This was going on, but he was.
I caught the end of the dance.
Yeah, just
but he was going off. He was going off, and see, now you got him just being more pumped up. But the whole time he was dancing, it was that's the end of it. The whole time he was he's got some good moves.
Yeah,
it was fun. Oh, I guess you saw with what's Ion with Glover?
Ion Cutelo.
Where do you want to start from? Because I can go.
Well, whatever. We're talking about the Mike Perry cowboy fight. We could go over the picks. By the way, Perry said he had a horrendous weight cut. I mean, he was kind of talking about it when we talked to him, and he just said it was a horrible weight cut.
Really?
And he still looked great.
He looked
picked
great.
Cowboy up, threw him on his head. Like, I mean, he didn't gas him, and he looked great.
Is he a guy who should move up at all? Has he had other weight cuts that were hard for him?
I think it's not the easiest thing for him normally, but I mean he's a 170.
Yeah,
that's where he looks.
Going up to 185 would be a big.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so this fight, so Jimmy, you've already lamented that you had Cowboy Oliveira by second round submission.
Yeah, because I wanted Mike, because I like Mike a lot, so yeah. I was happy to be wrong.
Yeah, which you did say on the show, and then me and Matt both had Perry by second round knockout, which he came close to doing maybe, but he ended up getting the unanimous decision.
How much fun is Oliveira to watch, though?
But he's fun.
He just does everything.
No, this fight was like a fucking superhero fight.
Yeah,
man.
Fight of
it
the
was
night.
So cool.
Yeah, great fight.
And I like characters, man. They're both characters, and they're both super entertaining, both dangerous, and I could see why a lot of people thought Mike Perry was outgunned. And I think if he fought similar to some other fights he fought, he might have been outgunned. This was a new and improved Mike Perry.
Sure, it was
very happy for him, and Cowboys stock doesn't go down fun as
not
fun.
At all.
No.
And you need that. I think to win a title, you have to be able to. Because again, I give a ground fighter standing up a better shot than a striker on the ground.
Right.
I don't know why. It's just there's just too many ways, too many mistakes. Standing up, you know, just don't get hit. Duck. You know, it's easy to say, but you kind of know. But on the ground, there's so many fucking mistakes you see people make. That won't get them choked.
100%.
Well, let me ask you guys quick.
Who gave up, Chris? Sorry. Who gave up the? Iwan Kutalaba gave up the fucking the back and the neck trying to get up.
To who? Glover to
Glover. Yeah.
Glover went through him quick when it got to the ground. I was just going to ask about Cowboy Oliveira. Do you feel like his biggest problem is that he has a hard? It seems like he has a hard time sticking to a game plan. Like he goes out first round, kind of sticks to it, and then he's just a wild guy, and he just kind of goes in there. And I think he views from.
Well, he's knocked guys out. He's also very dangerous with the submissions. So he's a well-rounded guy. He might be one of those guys. Just take it where it goes.
Right.
Exactly.
Glover. By the way, that's one of the fucking most beautiful chokes I've ever seen. That was just looked devastating.
It was more beautiful than the one he did right after the fight. Did you see that?
No.
You didn't see what I sent you?
What'd you send me?
Yeah, he texted us. Send me a Glover. You can show him the picture. Yeah. Well, anyway, so we're bouncing around a little bit, but we can go to the Glover Iwan Kutalaba fight. Jimmy, you had Kutalaba by second round knockout. I also had that. And Matt Serra, right on the nose, Glover Teixeira, second round submission.
What about that choke?
Wow, he's choking Matt. He's a big guy.
So I'm talking to Dan afterwards. All of a sudden, I felt a sweaty arm come around my neck. It was Glover. That's so funny. He's such a nice dude.
Yeah.
I know him a while. And I was really happy for him. And if you've seen before the fight, when Iwan walked right, I mean, and it's funny because I was sitting with Dana, and he goes, man, where's the commission for that? Where's where's the red coats? What do you call the jackets? The security, like, where the fuck are they for that? Where's the commission for that?
For what?
He walked right up into his face and he did the fucking neck slice thing. But he was almost nose to nose with
him. Wait, he did it to Dana?
No, fucking
no. Like in the cage.
He
did it to Dana. I don't know.
That's what I thought you were talking. Like, so he walked up to what? to Glover in the cage?
They didn't show that on the thing?
Maybe they did. I just didn't catch it.
Oh
yeah.
Fuck.
I didn't watch it like straight through like a normal news.
He walked right when they were announcing him. So they're announcing his name.
Kutalaba, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Ione.
And he walked up. He walked up to Glover.
Iwan. Okay. He walked right up into his face and did the old throat cut. So that made it even worse.
I never like when they do stuff. Like, I don't like when they enjoy Bruce Buffer's announcement. I love Junior. I don't like when he walks and he points at the ground.
Oh, yeah. Junior's, it's funny. He's like very theatrical for a guy that's like, you know.
Such an amazing boxer. Yeah. I don't necessarily like, I don't like Jacare's. Fucking, I don't like the alligator clap. I don't even like Charles Oliveira dancing on the way in.
I like it all.
Alex Oliveira, sorry. I don't like him dancing.
I like it.
You like Johnny Walker? You like when he does his...
No, I don't. And he got hurt. Yeah. But I love him.
I don't mind it. I'm probably just being a dick.
Yeah, I'm probably just a dick.
You know?
I don't know why I don't
You're not a dick. But I'll tell you, man, Glover took a bad spinning back fist, man.
Oh, yeah.
Clean.
It was clean. And I'll tell you, it was a tough first round, but damn, what a beautiful second round, man. Yeah. I love jiu-jitsu. When he got that takedown, I was going nuts, man. I was going fucking insane.
Do you think he accidentally, do you think that there was actually, like, he was on top of him, and he had him in full mount. Do you think he made a mistake that left the other guy, or do you think he gave him a little room on purpose?
To do what now?
To turn around and give up his back and try to stand up.
No, I think that Iwan... He gave up his back.
No, no, but
he didn't want to get punched in the face.
Do you think that Glover gave him a little bit of room
to turn over?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, he was in full control.
He wants to give him his... Yeah, it was to such control. And that's a nice thing to do, man.
He tried to back out underneath him, too, didn't he?
I'm not sure.
I mean,
it didn't work.
Yeah, he got it on him.
Yeah,
fast,
I know he got mounted, and then it was, downhill real fast. So congrats to Glover, man. The dude's 39 years old.
Performance of the night, gets an extra $50,000.
That's great, man. Yeah. That is great. I picked that one wrong. I know we're going opposite, but
you had Glover correct, second round submission. Then we might as well go to the top of the card then, or the first
Roosevelt
fight.
Roberts against Thomas Gifford has an incredible chin.
Yeah.
I mean, he took a lot of shots.
Yeah, I picked Gifford with that, didn't I?
You did. You had Gifford by second round sub. Jimmy, you had Roosevelt by second round sub, and I had Roosevelt Roberts by decision, which is what it ended up being.
Roosevelt Roberts does have a fucking superhero's name.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great fight, and that was Thomas Gifford's debut, so he looked really good. Yeah.
We made a great showing.
Then this one, this was a great fight also. Very impressive. Corey Sandhagen and John Lineker.
Fun fight, man.
Lineker misses a lot because he's trying to close distance.
Yeah.
But man, he throws knockout punch every punch he throws. Some to the body.
Some of those that he hit up top landed exactly like Corey had he put his hand right on his chin. And some of those that came up hit him right on his hand. Like, it's a good thing he had a very good defense. He had a really good range, Corey. And more aggressive than I thought. And I thought maybe he'd be more on his heels. And he was all over the place, but he was very accurate. Good fight, man.
Really good fight.
Yeah, it was a good fight. Congrats to Corey Sandhagen.
Yeah, that's a big win for him.
Big win. Nice kid.
You guys both had Lineker by decision. And I had Sandhagen by first round knockout. I thought he was going to be very aggressive, which I know it's like kind of a bold pick because he's never been finished. But
yeah.
I thought he was going to do kind of what he did. I mean, Lineker's just a real tough guy.
Wasn't he unranked, too? And Lineker's like number 8?
Yeah.
Was number 8?
Yeah, I can check. I closed the rankings. But yeah, Sandhagen was not ranked, I'm pretty sure. And then Lineker is in the top 10, definitely. But hold on, let me see, actually.
You should also bring up Jim Miller's performance.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, that was the other performance of the night. Lineker was number 8, yeah, and then Corey wasn't ranked, but you got to figure he'll be in the top 10, sure. You know, when the new rankings come out.
Jim Miller, really quick.
Yeah,
sure. Should mention that. Jim Miller, performance of the night, defeating Jason Gonzalez by rear naked choke round 1.
Yep.
You know, I did not see it because I was on the way over there, so... Play it! No, let me see. How's the ending, man? Oh, we want to hear something great, Jimmy. So I got to the airport, right? And I realized, I'm like, you know, you feel like you forgot something. You know, Jimmy?
Yeah.
You got that feeling.
And sure.
You're usually right when you have that feeling.
Yeah. Forgot to wear a condom.
Jimmy. So I forgot my iPad.
Oh, no. Where? In the hotel?
Yeah. So it's kind of disturbing.
So what'd you do?
I left, and my wife called when I was on the plane and this and that, and she got them to send it over. They have to take a credit card. But you know what really sucks? They have to take the this is the reason why I forgot it, because it's usually in the bed with me. You know, like I watch shows going to sleep. I do other things before I go to sleep.
I was gonna say shows and quotes.
You know, exactly. So that's what was going down with me, you know? And so Jimmy,
yeah,
it was in my bed. And the problem is when my wife's like, oh, they asked for the code. So
why the code?
Because to make sure it's really my iPad type of thing, like the pad, they open it up type of thing.
Can't they just say what picture's on the front? Yeah. I would never have given my code. I'd be like, just hold it. I'll fly back.
Yeah, I know, Jimmy. I just hope they don't look in my history.
Here's the end of the Jim Miller fight. This is with like 3:30 left in the first round.
Oh, shit.
I love Jim Miller, man. It's always fun to see him win.
All right. Jimmy's got his back.
They're both standing.
Oh, he's going for the Henzo. Is he going to straight? Oh, no. He doesn't want to put that hook in. Oh, he's looking for the Henzo. Is he going to do it? Is he going to kick off? Is he going to go?
If he straight, hold on to that guy's hold on to the king, no?
Not bad. Look at Jim. He's good at taking the back. That's so great.
Oh, he's extremely dangerous. Yeah. I think that was his 19th win, too, in the UFC.
Wow, this is great. Body triangle. And now he's... Oh, look at that.
That's the wrong guy to have on your back like that.
He's got the rear naked choke on him. That looks dangerous. He's got him, Jimmy.
Oh, boy, does he have him.
Oh, wow. Oh, is that his family?
Yeah, I actually think that was the first time his kids were at a fight. I think I read. I'm not sure.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
Oh, I like that. I like that, Jimmy.
Sucks if you lose, though. I hope you prepare them for it.
My God, Jimmy.
You know, do you prepare the kids if it's their first time? People, the other guy might have had, you know, who knows, fucking... Gonzalez might have had his kids there too.
Yeah, well, we actually, when we talked to Alan Joban, I guess last week or the week before or whatever, that was the first time he's bringing his, I think his son to the fight, and he ended up losing by split decision, which was.
Yeah.
He was annoyed about that, obviously, but.
Then he showed his son how to walk out and handle a loss the right way. I'm only kidding. I like Alan Joban. He was upset, though, afterwards.
Yeah.
I think So would his kid like lose on the little league? He'd be like, ah, this is fucking bullshit. I'm only kidding. No, I'm joking. All right, what do we got, guys?
We got Greg Hardy and Dmitry Smoliakov.
We all had Hardy.
Yeah, we all had Hardy by first round knockout. Hardy. We were all correct by that.
Yes.
Hardy.
He looked good. I mean,
slept him.
Dmitry looked pretty bad.
He came at Hardy, to his credit. I mean, obviously, Dmitry, you could say what you wanted about his opponent, but Hardy did come in looking
absolutely
in much better shape, showed good cardio, showed good patience. Like, he was good. But
Dean Thomas in his corner.
Yeah.
Dmitry is, I don't know what he should do.
I think he should. Is Dana going to give him another fight or no?
I think he's going to give him a no.
Well, doesn't he have a contract?
Probably give him a pink slip. I don't know. I'm just guessing, but I can't see that guy coming back. That was just weird.
Yeah. What do you think the problem
was there? I even think Dana said that was weird.
Yeah.
It is weird. Who the fuck? That was like a guy that never got hit before. He's got traps the size of your fucking head, Jimmy.
He's big.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, he must have been rocked. Obviously, he was rocked when he went to the ground. But for a guy with like his kind of grappling background, you'd think he'd be able to grab onto something, but he didn't. I mean, just kind of covered up.
Yeah,
Greg Hardy hits like a monster, though.
But. Yeah, he might have really hurt him at one point, and it just didn't register as much.
Let me tell you about in the main event. Nobody is getting out of that choke, that guillotine, the way he got that. I was watching that thing like a hawk. And
was he moving his legs away? Is that what he was doing?
Man, could you put that back on for me?
Yeah.
Please?
Well, do you want to see just the end of this the Greg Hardy fight? Or
yeah,
you want
no, to... we can. Yeah. Okay.
Why?
Well, because Jimmy has to say,
look at the size of Dmitry. He is a giant guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He looks like a little boulder walking in there, but
dude,
but,
I mean, he is really fucking big. Like almost, he looks like he's almost too big to fight. Like,
oh, but dude, he's
see, that uppercut gets through and it rocks him, obviously. But
and then he fell down. And he's like, just covering up. He's not trying to do anything other than covering up.
Hardy did a good job picking his spots here, too. I mean, he didn't just, like, empty the tank on him. He found the right shots.
But shouldn't he be doing something there? I mean, again, Matt, you're a jiu-jitsu guy.
Well,
I'm not an expert.
Well, you know, it's called, distance management here. You got to fucking, it's about keeping a guy too close or too far. So if you're just covering up, and you're not doing anything with your lower body to create any space or your upper body to clinch him, then basically you're just a punching bag waiting for the ref to do what he just did. It's one thing if you have to keep your hands in front of your face in a transition, but if you're just staying there, it's like almost like staying there up against their cage doing that. It's not a good thing.
No.
And it's not like you could fire back effectively off your back. So I want to see that strangle that he got.
Do we know what round that was? Was it the second round?
I think it was the first round.
Was it? Okay.
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. Because I remember being like, yo, he survived that early.
Yeah.
Now, the second round was a lot of him just in the card. Is that the first round?
I don't know. I'm trying. The thing won't go away. Let me see.
Hermanson was great. He was so good on the ground even.
And he took this on short notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess 3 weeks or so. Maybe April 3rd, I think he took the fight. Okay, so this is the first. Yeah, so this, he must get it here.
Because Yoel dropped out, right?
Yeah. Yoel got pneumonia, I think.
Man, I want to see him get out of that choke.
I don't think it was. It was. Sorry, it was the first round. Yeah. Let me go back on.
It's amazing how he did that, man. I want to see that shit.
I mean, that's Chris, a specialty, too. That.
Yeah. I don't know if you rewound it enough, did you?
No, I did. Well,
Chris doesn't want to see
it's coming.
I leave it right there. Leave it.
Okay.
All right, so right now he's got a minute. You can put the sound on if you want.
Yeah, but.
Interesting. So, like, he knows he can't just. He's trying to get rid of that. And he's going.
What do you do? You turn into him?
I'm not even saying this is the right way to get out of this. Is fucking crazy. Like that looks. It looks like he could snap his neck the other way. Look. It's weird. But now he looked to get position, and Jacare wasn't having it. I love it, man. This was a fun fight.
Yeah, it was.
That's why it must have been close for the fight of the night. This and the Mike Perry fight, you know.
Yeah.
I think Mike Perry's was just a little bit more entertaining.
A little bit more.
But this was fun. All right, that's good enough. But the way he got out of that choke, he's getting 9 out of 10 guys with that.
Yes.
You know?
Well, once he got Branch, I mean, once you watch him finish a guy who's as great like as David Branch is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Well, Jacare was in trouble there.
I know,
it's
but
not
that's
like
what I'm
saying. He just like, got out of that with no problem.
But that's what I mean. It's like, if he can do that to Branch, then he arguably could do that to anybody. And he was real close on Jacare.
Now, let me ask you, Hermanson, what is his record and what's his age? He's like 27. He's a young guy.
Or
am I totally an idiot?
Is he that young?
I don't know. I don't know if he's that young. But
I know Jocker's 39.
He's 30, Jack.
Okay.
And that, I think, is his fourth in a row. Yeah, so he's 20-4. That's his fourth in a row. And he only has two losses in the UFC. Otherwise, he has he's 7-2 now in the UFC. He lost to Cesar Fajeda. He got submitted, an arm triangle choke, actually. Fajeda's really good on the ground. And then he got knocked out by Thiago Santos, which, you know, anybody can get knocked out by Thiago Santos.
So. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. What time do we have, Trevor?
We got him about 10 minutes.
Yeah, P?
Yes, you do too, Jimmy?
Always. Do we want to just say how we did here with the picks? And then you go.
I know how I did.
So
I went 2-5.
You went 2-6.
2-6.
4 points. Matt Sarah, 3-6, 7 points.
7 points. I must have hit one right on the head.
Yeah. You did. You had two, Glover and Greg Hardy. And then Chris the producer went 4-6, 8 points. For this month, Jim is 6-16 with 12 points. Me and Matt are tied 8-16. I have 17 points. Matt has 15. So there we go.
I took a beating this month.
Yeah, not your best.
So it's really hurt. What is the points for the month?
The points for the month.
12, 15, 17. Chris is winning. You're second. And I'm fucking third.
Right.
Well, third is, you know, if you don't win, you learn type of thing.
That's right. Okay. I've done neither.
Jimmy's still in the lead overall, though. So
of course.
I don't want to talk about that. Potty break.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations, but most of it's going to be mid-pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the three-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
All right, waiting for Trevor Whitman. Chris, what did you want to discuss first? Anything in particular before Trevor?
Oh, yeah, just real quick.
Oh, Paulo Costa.
Yeah, the Paulo Costa thing. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he didn't cheat, per se. I mean, you know, it was just he was getting stomach medicine through an IV, and you're not allowed to do that. But the medicine you're allowed to take.
Yeah, so, well, he got two IV, like, the saline drip. Well, I don't know. I don't know how they know. But they did an investigation. This was before the Alawale-Bamboche fight in June 2017. And then also before the Johnny Hendricks fight in November 2017. I don't know how it came back around, but he's allowed to take the saline solution and the medicine that he took for the nausea or whatever, his stomach. But you're not allowed to use an IV, so you got a 6-month suspension for that, which is over now.
Were they made no contests or no?
No, I don't think they.
They don't vacate the wins. Okay.
No.
Yeah, because now what is the anti-nausea twice? Is he having an issue with it? Does he have equilibrium problems or nerves?
No, I think that's what he was talking about. So like that, Costa like said that the reason why he couldn't fight Romero or why he had a problem with USADA was that he took this Plasil or whatever, which was a nausea medication, which is true. But I think he left out the part where he got two IVs. And
what's the matter with a little Dramamine, huh? Dramamine.
Why is he taking it before two fights, and why does he want to take it before a third fight?
Well, no, I mean, the IV is because of the weight cut.
No, but I mean the stomach medication.
Yeah, I don't know. He might have only done it in one of those IVs. I'm just saying, like, it was one instance.
Oh, I see. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he took IVs. He admitted to that, but didn't say that it was in an IV, which is...
Okay.
The problem. So,
but the stomach medication is okay.
Yeah, but both things that, you know, the IV is fine. It's not like it's an illegal thing. You just can't do it before a fight, you know. So anyway, so he got suspended, but that, I think that suspension is up. It finished on February.
It was
10th,
like retroactive,
so.
Right?
Yeah. No. Okay. So anyway,
I can't wait. Is he 12-0? Am I remembering his record right? I really want to see him fight again.
Yeah, he's been out for a little bit now.
Last time he fought was in New York. Am I correct? Where he beat Uriah Hall.
No, well, that was in Vegas, but yes, we were at Vegas, that fight, okay. But yeah.
I forget where the fucking that was.
He is 12-0.
He is. Yeah, we had talked about him and Adesanya, but in the time he's been off, Adesanya's really skyrocketed.
Yeah.
What's he ranked, Costa? I could probably, you know what? Ignore my laziness. I'll look at my own sheet right here. Oh, he's ranked 7th.
Yeah.
Who do I want to see next? Now, Luke Rockhold is moving up. So Adesanya Whitaker is the next fight.
Yeah.
You know, Jacare is 4. Gastelum 5. Weidman and Paulo Costa. Who does Costa fight next when he comes back? I mean, Weidman would be an amazing fight.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Romero's the one that they've been talking about for a long time. They've been trying to put that fight together.
Yeah, but he keeps first with the orbital bone, and then what did he have last time? Illness?
Yeah, I think he has pneumonia, Yoel. I don't know how he's doing now. But then Costa had to pull out because of this whole thing, you know, so it was it's been hard to put that one together, but we'll see what happens.
That would be a great fight. How many times has Romero had problems with weight more than once? Or was it the only time?
Yeah, Romero's had, I think, 2 in a row, actually, his last 2.
He's my age, Trevor Whitman.
Is he?
Yeah.
They're talking about Romero.
1974.
Oh, okay.
Shit, I'm getting old, Jimmy.
So me too. I'm older than you by 6 years.
Yeah, but you look good.
So do you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, you all missed weight for the last 2
I set that up
fights.
To so I get a
I know you did. I shouldn't
Jimmy.
Have said that.
I know.
Should have said, well, you know, appreciate it.
And you're smiling like you didn't want to say it.
I didn't.
Jimmy. All right. Listen, I think we should...
I can't wait to see him fight again.
Who?
Paulo Costa.
Me too. I like him. I want to see Uriah Hall fight again.
I love Uriah.
Where's Uriah Hall? Oh, let's talk.
Do we have Trevor on the phone?
It's Trevor.
Hey, Trevor. You're talking to Matt Serra and Jim Norton on Unfiltered. How are you?
Welcome, guys. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good.
Hey, Trevor, you were just in Fort Lauderdale. I don't know if you... I was there, and I feel bad because I was going to walk over. I think we made eye contact once, and then I was going to go over. And I don't want to interrupt anybody.
You right there.
What's that?
So I see you sitting there, and I see you having a good time. And we kind of eye contact a few times, giggling and having a good time, bro. That was enjoying myself.
Yeah, you have such a good... That's such a sweet gig you got there with that analyst work. And I love hearing you either critique or just add a comment about the corner work. I think that's very... Very smart, because that's what I'm doing at home all the time. Myself and Longo, we're like, listen to that fucking advice. No, I'm only kidding. But how did that come? How did that come about, Trevor?
You know, I get a call from Zach, and he's like, "Hey, I have this idea. Me and Dan were talking about it, and they said they want to bring in something different, just because, like on Fox, when they used to be on Fox, they wouldn't show the corners. So their ESPN deal was going to be the same thing." So pay-per-views are fine because they're showing what's going on in the corner. Like, let's bring someone in and see if we can, get someone just to talk about what they're saying here and there. And if there's something that's really good or might be a little out there, let's have someone talk about it. So they said, let's give it a try. I came out there and I've been kind of swinging from the hip since, you know?
Now, I can tell you're a drama-free guy, and you're a very likable guy, Trevor. We've been around each other for a while now and at the fights and stuff. So I can't see you bringing drama, but this is the thing. Now, doing this, like having the job that you have, it's only been a little bit, but have you had anybody, any corner come up to you and be like, this is what I meant by that? And I'm nuts, and I'm only kidding. But have you had anybody approach you yet and been like, you know, they didn't like
it. No, I have not. I've actually had a lot of corners come up to me and be especially nice to me. So I think they're trying to, and I feel like there's motive behind it. But no, I don't think so. I mean, I was talking with a group from the UFC. I was just like, hey, man, I feel like the best thing to do is not say is it good or bad. Let me just talk about it. And then if there's something that I would do differently, let me say it in that sense. And, I think we were all in agreement, but if there's something that's really, really out there, and you know, the main thing is that I want to just want people to know when I'm critiquing this type of thing, I would not be in the position I'm in right now without making so many mistakes in the corner. I mean, from leaving mouthpieces on my lap throughout a whole round in a world championship fight with Vernal Phillips in boxing. I mean, I remember him looking at me defending in the corner, and he's looking at me going, damn, T! And he's saying that over and over, and I come into the corner, he's got this look on his face, and I'm like, I look at him, and I say, as I go to put the mouthpiece in his mouth, I'm like, it'll never happen again.
That's
and
good.
You need to go through times like that, where, like, you know, when I stopped Nate's fight in Mexico, that came because I didn't stop a fight in a WBC fight with Manuel Perez that he actually punctured his lung. And we didn't make weight because we took it on 3 days' notice. And we went through so many issues. And I should have stopped that fight. I almost killed, like, allowed a fighter to die. And those types of things are just what you get through experience. So I'm never out there to say someone's doing it right or wrong. I still have to perform every night as a coach. And every night is different. You never know what to expect. And you can't say that they're making a mistake if you've never been through a situation before. It's more of just like, how would you handle it? What else could you do? And really, that's what I want to talk about, is try to educate people through experiences I've been through. So who am I to be out there saying it's right or wrong? That's anybody thinking that, I think they're out their mind, because I'm the first to admit, man, it's all my mistakes that I've made is for the reason why I'm in this position now. I have to perform just like the athlete.
Now, what have you seen said? You don't have to say who said it, but what would you consider really bad corner advice? Like when a fighter is, like, what would, like, things that you've seen that you went like, oof, that's not how I would have handled it.
You know, it's more of when a fighter, you can tell that they're not in the fight and they're looking for something, and the coach looks at them like, come on, you got to want this shit. And says shit like that, like, you know damn right this fighter wants to win. But when someone is just a step ahead of them in everything that they're doing, and there's no technique, even if it's the wrong fucking technique, give them something to think about, because they're lost. And when you're in a fight, it's not, and Matt, you know this very well, when you're in a fight and it's not going your way, it's very hard to think. Like, you almost feel like scatterbrained. I always tell people, if you want to learn what fighting is like in a better sense of not getting KO'd, let someone bitch slap you while you're playing chess over and over. And see how good you can think and what's your next move. And the key to that is, like, how if you can't give them information, it's hard for them to recover themselves when they're out there, you know, getting smashed. And a lot of times I see corners just out there just saying, hey, man, do you want this shit? And it's just like, bro, like if you're going to tell them, ask them if you want it, give them something inspiration. What do they fight for? Is it for their children? What is it? What's going to pump them up and shake them out of it? Or, you know, sometimes people say, hey, slap in the corner is a bad thing. Sometimes I'm like, there's never a bad thing in the corner, depending on what it does for that athlete, because every athlete is different. And that's why it's hard for me to critique the corners, because a lot of times there's a connection there that two guys have, and they can almost speak code, and they know what's going on with each other. So there's a lot that I can't speak about, and I won't speak about in the corner just because I don't understand it.
No, I felt that a lot during my fights. Like, I'd have Longo or Henzo, and Longo in particular telling me something like, no, listen, when you have him up against the cage, what about that elbow? What about that? Like, certain things where I'm like, where I felt like, because especially between rounds, you're trying to digest what just, as the fighter, you're like, all right, you're trying to digest what just happened. Sometimes you might've had a great round, and you're just thinking about the knee you took to the face, or something that happened wrong. Sure. Meanwhile, you won. So it's hard to digest what happened. And that's another thing that I think the corner has to be good at, is kind of give you a quick summary, be honest, and kind of keep your head in the game. And by giving you some clear-cut advice, whether it's, hey, man, you're good at that single leg, you have to go for it, or fake that single leg, go for the right hand. Give them something, because if they have nothing and you just say, hey, man, do you want it? I understand what you're saying, because of course they want it.
Then you're just talking shit to them. Then you're just pissing the fighter off. I've had coaches that when I was fighting, they would piss me off more than I'd rather fight him than the dude cross from me. I'm like, what the fuck are you saying? Like, you're saying I'm fucking, like, I had a coach who told me I lost every round with this dude. And every time I win the fight, like, I still win the fight, but I lost every round. I look at him like, damn, I lost every round. And it's just like, you got to be able to connect. You got to think that, like, the coach, it's like you say about Ray Longo. I consider him the best, because his boxing knowledge is just so fucking good. And again, you could hear the energy in his voice. Sometimes he's super smooth. Sometimes he gets high energy. But you're hardly ever going to hear the high energy come out unless it's needed. You are a co-pilot to the guy who's driving the car. You are in the car. You've got to think that there's danger here.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to help him out. If a fighter, if a coach ain't willing to put himself out on the line and take full credit when an athlete loses, then you're not taking the fucking dangers with this fighter. Yes, there's head trauma and shit like that that the fighter's taking. But it's the credibility that the coach needs to take. And when the fighter fucking wins, they step back and don't take no credibility. That's what I love about high-level coaches, and Ray Longo speaks that.
Not true.
He's so fucking intelligent. Tell him I said what's up because he's the coolest motherfucker I've ever met.
I sure will.
Hey, buddy, there was a lot of criticism of, I think it was Raquel Pennington's coaches after, you know, after round four where she said, hey, look, I don't want to. And the coach, like, you could do it. Now, is that something you think was fair criticism, or is that one of those codes that it could be where a fighter and a coach kind of know how each other communicates and he understands? Do you think that was unfair of people to criticize her coaches for that?
You know, it's hard to say. Again, I'm not in there with her. A lot of times fighters like him will say that every time they're in the fight, like, fuck, I'm out of shape, I'm this, or you just be negative. I had one guy who was just negative every time he come back to court. I had to tell him one time, act like a fucking professional. But if they're broke and they're just not winning the fight, I think the best time to look at stopping a fight is someone who's earlier in their career and they're not at their last couple battles. If it's the last couple battles, it might be a little different, but hey, this is your last chance for a world championship fight.
Right.
I don't know if that was, I think it was a championship fight. I remember it being a five rounder.
Yeah.
That's a little different. You know, there's a lot of things that go into play with that. Plus, they were new coaches who were with one or two fights I remember. And a lot of times the coach is like, fuck, I don't want to get fucking fired right away. But I always say, man, think about the fighter as your children. And would you allow your fighter to go back in there for that? And one of the most important things you remember when you're thinking about stopping a fight for an athlete is this fight going to do more damage to him mentally? And that's the hard part for a fighter. If they're getting their ass kicked and they just feel like they don't belong in there, a tough fucking battle will take the steam out of a fighter. And if you have a fucking war where you're just not in there and you're getting your fucking ass kicked and you hurt for fucking 6 weeks after, sometimes it's best to say, hey, man, I'm going to pull the plug on this and I'll fucking take charge and stop this fight. So that way you can go out there and be confident in your next fight. And you can make the excuse for the fighter, whatever it is. Come up with some fucking shit. But take their back on that and don't allow them to just go out there, get smashed, get fucking humiliated in front of everybody and be able to jump in. But again, that's every scenario, every fight is different. And it's really just up to the coach to care about the athlete and make sure that they can make money in this sport. And sometimes pulling out of a fight will make them more money in the long run because they're new in the game. And they just need another lesson, more time, and better fights in front of them for two or three more fights and then another tough fight. But, I mean, that's just the correct guidance. But every situation is different, so I can't really comment on sure. Raquel Pennington.
And if
I was there live, it would probably be different. I'd probably be commenting
sure.
if I was there live because I'm feeling the energy.
And can you talk about the mental state of Justin Gaethje? Because he comes in, he was undefeated. I mean, so highly touted. And then he goes through a loss, and he handled it really well. Like, a lot of guys, their first loss, it seems to throw them off a little bit. What was his mentality like after that first loss? Because even in a loss, he's still, you know, everybody loves watching him fight. So how was his mindset after that first loss?
So his mindset was just really a purpose change. He really, you know, his mindset, my favorite part about coaching is the mental part of it. And I really got into it just because I felt like that was one of the most important parts in combat sports because of the injuries. And you have to be able to cater to someone and make them believe that they can still win a fight coming off of injuries, going into fights, because many fighters, as Matt knows, goes into fights injured. So you're like going in there, you know, and you don't got all your tools and here you are ranked at a certain level. Gaethje is a different fucking dude. This guy's got a mindset that, honestly, I really feel like he could not go on in life without having fighting. That he fucking loves the fight. He loves it. He loves every part about it. He'll be back in the back room, in the locker room with people, and he's like, dude, I fucking love this shit. And everybody's like, dude, you're fucking making that shit up. Like, I thought for so long he's fucking making, just talking that shit that, oh, I ain't scared, I ain't this. He has a blast. And in the fight with Eddie Alvarez, he got comfortable. He got relaxed. Like, he's killing him with the uppercut. Eddie had tried to pull guard in that fight, in that round, and it was all because he got relaxed. He didn't see a knee, and not to take anything away from Eddie, that knee up the middle was perfectly timed. Awesome place. He threw two body shots, two hooks first to open up the elbows. I mean, the technical part's behind that, but Gaethje is so fucking relaxed. So after that fight, it wasn't like he really wanted to change that. We always talk about it, and he's a great defensive fighter. He's just a guy that just likes to fucking be in the heat of the storm, and he likes to see people's faces looking at him when he's taking them under his water. in the second fight when he had Dustin, and he's like, it's the same shit. He comes out to the corner. First thing he says, he goes, you don't fucking hit hard at all. And I look at him, and I just start laughing. I'm like, dude, look at me. Focus. And then he comes back again. He's like, he's having a fucking blast. He said something in the corner that I think it's somewhere. It came up, and I was like, he's like, I'm having a fucking blast. And I'm like, would you fucking continue to go to his body? Like, you're going to break him. Go to the body. And he goes out there and actually, after what I asked for, go to the fucking low kick, you know, to the body, chop him down. He gets countered because, again, he was relaxed after he threw the low kick. And I think for him, he was like, Coach, I was thinking about kicking hard. I was thinking about rebasing. And I told him, sometimes when you're that tired, your body's going to do stuff that's subconsciously just keeping you going through a fight. And Justin can fight that way. But again, he doesn't hit as hard as he does when he's on that full gas pedal because he's running red line. If he fights in spots, it's the key. So he really focused on fighting in spots, still being explosive, still having his pressure that he has where he stays on people. But knowing that if you're going five rounds, know that you're gonna have to fight in spots and still be the same guy. You're going to be more accurate because he's so freaking accurate. He hits so damn hard, and he loves the fight. It's just taking the fight out of him a little bit and making sure that he's staying conscious and talking to himself to get him. If, again, I'm the co-pilot, make sure you're not hitting red line the whole fight.
Well, did you do anything differently recently? Because, I mean, he's back on track.
Pulled him back and made him fight in spots. And he's actually more conscious about his balance in his shoulders, too. He's not leaning forward. He's got more balanced level shoulders, which is making him more rangy, which is better. Because, again, he does it in the gym, but when he gets into the fight, he just would go chaotic, which, again, is here I am as a coach, always trying to pull him back. And I'm a fan, too, because I'm just like, dude, he's so fun to watch. And he's having so much fun, so I'm having fun. I mean, dude, he's just a unique guy. He's been just a pleasure to work with. And when he loses, it's not like he's back in the back like Mitchell. He's like, dude, do you think the fans like the fight? And I'm like, dude, you're fucking awesome. Like, he cares so much about fight fans. And knowing that if you're on a main event, which he's been on a main event every time he fought in the UFC, he's got to close the show. And he cares more about people getting their money's worth. And I feel that's why he makes a shitload of money in the UFC, because he tells Dana every time he sees him, I'm going to close the show for you, I promise.
How do you think he matches up? Excuse me. How do you think he matches up with the champ? How do you think he matches up with Khabib?
I think it is a great matchup for us. I think it's a fight that his wrestling is so damn good that no one freaking knows about it. It's almost like a hidden weapon. And he wrestles all the time. He's still with his coach from college. And he's got a very fun style of wrestling to watch too. Lots of slams, things like that. He just doesn't like to do it because of the conditioning part. And he likes to mock people out. Yeah. He's going to know when he fights Khabib, you're going to get tired, and you're going to really have to face adversity just because Khabib's wrestling is just that high level. But Gaethje throws just everything with as much attitude as he can, and the one thing that he's really good in wrestling is scrambling, where he's not going to play, hey, I'm going to wrestle you back, I'm going to scramble and then hit you any time that I'm creating scrambles. Yeah. Well, that's going to create hesitations.
Well, that's the biggest thing, Trevor, because styles make fights, and I've said this before on here. I mean, from what I see, nobody's held down Justin Gaethje. Who's held him down ever? Has he ever been held down on his back? Ever?
There was one time when he was fighting Firmino. No, he wasn't held down. He took a break. Like, he was, like, laying with his elbow on the canvas, and he put his head down. Like, I got so mad at him. I was like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? Like, that looks so bad for the judge. He's like, Coach, let me take a break.
Yeah. So funny, yeah, that's actually funny.
He's just an awesome fucking dude.
Yeah, that's funny. That's great.
His shit.
That is so. He's so likable.
Who does he fight next? Does he have anyone lined up?
No one yet.
Well, I mean, I just think he's. I'll tell you, they got to give him somebody up there because not taking out James Vick and Edson Barboza back to back the way he did in devastating fashion, I just can't wait to see what's next.
Who wouldn't want to see Conor Gaethje? Because Aya Quint is fighting Cowboy. Who would not want to see Conor against Justin Gaethje?
Yeah, that would be great. I would like to see that one also. The one thing that I just don't like about that fight is just, again, it builds fighters and it builds the recognition. That's always a great thing. But again, it's just the chaotic just shit talk and just the shit that it'll make Gaethje do. That Gaethje, like you said, man, he's a likable dude. And
He doesn't like to talk shit. It's just not him. He's like, anybody who meets him, he's a class act. He wants to represent his family and his parents. And when you've got someone like McGregor, it's going to make you come out and, you know, swear and stuff that he doesn't want to do in front of his parents. And just things that just, it would make me uncomfortable, him coming out as outside of himself. Outside of the fight, I would love. But again, when you have that trash talk, and not to take anything away from Conor, because he does it the best, and I'm entertained by it all the time. His accent's awesome. His laugh is awesome. He sells the fights. But again, just for Gaethje's purpose and what he's going for in this thing is again, he's out there to face the best and put on great fights and do his talking with his hands.
And how's Rose doing? We love Rose, and she's fighting Andrade at 237 on May 11th in Brazil. And how is Rose's training, and how is her mind?
Everything is awesome. We're ready to leave next Monday. Training camp has been great. Flying's been great. Everything's just been spectacular for this training camp, and I'm really excited to face Jessica. Jessica's such a good opponent. She deserves the title shot, and man, she is a wrecking ball. She is so good at what she does, and she is so damn strong. So it's going to make us face some adversity, and I'm looking forward to Rose going out there and facing the fears.
And didn't Joanna say chalk it up to a bad weight cut? I'm guessing it was the second fight that went the distance, or did she say she won that fight?
No, it was the first one was the weight cut. Second one, she said that she won the fight, so it is what it is. She's a tough girl. Again, she's got a winning spirit, and it's hard to lose, and she trained really hard for that second fight, and she felt she won. That just means that she's got a strong mindset, because when you're in there in a fight like that, and you're still feeling your winning rounds, I mean, that's a strong-minded girl, especially for a female. That's just bad. I'm always impressed by her toughness.
Sure.
Like, she's been in some tough, tough fights, and she goes the distance, and she's sharp all the time. I mean, even in the Valentin fight, like, that was just such a good fight to watch. So high level, so technical. And to be able to watch females at that level with that much technique is just so cool to watch. Because in the boxing world, where I come from, it's just there was never really female boxers that were like, wow, when you see them. And there's so many girls in MMA that are just so technical. So cool to watch.
And now, how much time do you spend? One of my favorite people is Pat Barry, because he's really crazy. How much time do you spend with Pat Barry?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time with him. And, you know, he used to drink a lot. And
oh, no.
That's what made him super, super crazy. He's still got his high-level energy. But it's working with him, he is so damn freaking intelligent. And, you know, he's a guy that does everything at full bore. And now that he stopped drinking, it is like he when he's making conversation, it's not from one subject to the next subject to the next subject. Like, when he is talking techniques and strategies, it's like it makes fucking the utmost sense in the world. When before, I think he was doing the right thing. It was just bouncing from one thing to the other. And, man, I'm really enjoying the time. Since he stopped drinking, I cannot believe how much he has elevated his coaching ability. And I sit back and all the time, what he's done with JJ. I mean, JJ Aldridge, that girl has gotten so much better in three fights. Like, her technique and just her pressure in her last fight, I know she lost it, but I was there live to watch it. She's never been a pressure fighter, and she was cracking Macy Barber. I was just so impressed. Yeah. And, yeah, he's doing really good with his athletes. It's so impressive. Being able to corner with Rose with that is great.
Here's the important question. What does a person do when there is a drunk Pat Barry? How does one control a drunk Pat Barry?
You don't.
You don't.
You just kind of laugh, and then you tell him you're going to the bathroom, and then you go to bed. Hey, man, that's how he's working. Like, he was entertaining. Like, your job would hurt the next day because he's like, it wasn't like a bad thing. Like,
sure.
It's so funny. Like, it's so entertaining. So fun, but it's so much. And, again, he has changed so much. Like, he's just on point. And to be working with athletes, that's the one thing. You have to be on point all the time. And you got to be there for him at any moment. And I just think that the athlete, it deserves that, you know, and when you're at the events, I don't feel the coach should be out there getting trashed and waking up with hangovers and things like that. And not to say that he was, but again, it'll start catching up to you and the athletes feel it. Like, I'm out here cutting weight and you guys are out there having fun. I've always looked at it from that way. So it's like, hey, man, we're here to do a job. And then seeing him like that, I'm like checking myself for shit. I'm like, am I eating too much?
But that's how much he's changed and got, and has really just impressed me in every area. And I've really, really, really enjoyed a coach with him now.
Well, thank you for talking to us, Trevor. And please tell Pat and Rose we said hello. We like both of those guys so much. And, please
they're,
do my best.
They're best couple ever.
All right, Trevor, man. Thanks, dude. Appreciate
thanks,
it. Guys.
All right, thanks a lot. Trevor Whitman, appreciate it. Take care.
Right, Bye-bye.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
He really is, man. He coaches some
fun.
Great people.
I like that. Did I kiss his ass enough in case I'm on the...
That's fair.
Working that corner.
That's very fair.
I'm working a corner two times this weekend coming up.
Oh, that's good thinking. That's right.
You know, I have to kiss his ass a little bit.
Against his fighters?
I don't know. Oh, okay. He might be analyzing that shit.
I see, yes.
Marab and Ray Janelle this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Ooh. Wait, I've been around. That's right.
Yeah, man. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's
so
a great excited. Fight.
And I'm leaving Thursday, so I'll be here for both shows.
Oh, great.
Okay. What else we got, gentlemen?
I think that's it. We covered everything.
Yeah, we covered everything.
I enjoyed Roxanne a lot, Trevor a lot. Thanks to both of them. First time on the show for both of them, which was great.
Yeah.
Roxanne hasn't been on the show.
I don't think. I thought she was, but then Chris
I,
said.
I don't must think just so, geek no. out with her when I see her, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, Well, listen. You know, you don't gotta leave, but you can't stay here. Wait, does that make sense?
It does.
What
you don't have
say?
To go home, but you can't stay here.
Oh, okay.
You don't gotta leave, but you can't stay here. That makes no sense.
That makes no sense.
Zero sense, actually. Could you... On a 1 to 10, that's a zero sense.
Let's edit that out.
No, let's keep it so people can see the humanity.
Well, I'm trying to. What, it makes no sense to say. You don't have to leave, but you can't stay here. That makes absolutely no sense.
I've never heard of anything that made less sense in 50 years.
It's true, Jimmy. It makes zero sense.
Well, welcome back, Matt.
I know. And I was doing so well until I said that horrible saying that makes no sense. Jimmy, right.
Not
listen,
as well as
you don't got to go home, and neither do I, but we can't stay here. That's no, what I meant to say.
All right, listen. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you to Roxanne and to Trevor. And look.
Jimmy?
Always thank you.
You're welcome, Jimmy.
See you a couple days. See you Thursday.
Awesome. I'll see you then, pal.
All right. Now, remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. radio.com/UFC Unfiltered or wherever you get your shows. Not my business.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.